The Lord be with you.
And with your
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said to the Pharisees, "There was a rich man who dressed in purple garments and fine linen and dined sumptuously each day. And lying at his door was a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who would gladly have eaten his fill of the scraps that fell from the rich man's table. Dogs even used to come and lick his sores. When the poor man died, he was carried away by angels to the bosom of Abraham. The rich man also died and was buried. And from the netherworld, where he was in torment, he raised his eyes and saw Abraham far off and Lazarus at his side. And he cried out, 'Father Abraham, have pity on me. Send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am suffering torment in these flames.' Abraham replied, 'My child, remember that you received what was good during your lifetime, while Lazarus likewise received what was bad. But now he is comforted here, whereas you are tormented. Moreover, between us and you, a great chasm is established to prevent anyone from crossing who might wish to, from our side to yours, or from your side to ours.' He said, 'Then I beg you, Father, send him to my father's house, for I have 5 brothers, so that he may warn them, lest they too come to this place of torment.' But Abraham replied, 'They have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them.' He said, 'Oh no, Father Abraham, but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent.' Then Abraham said, 'If they will not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded if someone should rise from the dead.'" The Gospel of the Lord. This parable of the rich man and Lazarus doesn't seem to fit in with the parables that we've had the last few Sundays. I mentioned the story of the prodigal son would have been 2 Sundays ago, and then the story of the wicked servant who takes and relies on the master's generosity in his moment of desperation, trusting that the master will see the joy that came from forgiving that debt and go along with it so that the servant has somewhere to go. It doesn't seem like this parable has much to do with those. It seems like a totally different lesson that Jesus is trying to teach, that maybe it's good to be poor in this world and bad to be rich, or at the very least that we should notice the good things that we have and be able to help the poor, those that are in front of us. And I think that's kind of half true. But I think it's important to see that this parable comes at the end of those other ones, and that he addresses it specifically to the Pharisees. The Pharisees who were not finding great joy with the conversion of sinners, with those that were tax collectors and prostitutes that were coming close to Jesus. Instead, they would get angry that Jesus wasn't noticing those that were righteous and those that seemed closest to God. That Jesus first wanted them to rejoice and see that it was good that these people were converted, that they were able to receive God's goodness and his forgiveness. Secondly, I think Jesus in today's gospel wants them to see, wants the rich and the Pharisees to see that they have something that they can do as well, that there's many opportunities they have to be converted and to be conformed to God. Not just to wait around for something to change. Hopefully the poor and the sick people will take care of themselves. But to see that I have something that I can give to those in need. Because at the heart of this story is a man who has nice things, has a lot of food, has nice clothing, and there's a poor man right there at his door. I think we miss a a lot of this story, actually, because our world looks so much different. But in most of the houses in the ancient world, in ancient Israel, there wouldn't have been doors. There would have been doorways that you walk through, but they would just be open. It wouldn't be anything that you close and open. So it's not even that the man was there and he kind of ignored him on his doorstep, like we might forget about an Amazon package or something. But he literally had to step over Lazarus every time he left the house. Every time he went out to do something, he would step over this poor man and essentially ignore him. Not giving him anything, not offering him any help, just saying, well, I hope something changes for you and that gets better on your own. I think that's an important part of this story, that it's not just that the rich man could have done something for the poor man, but it's that Jesus wants the Pharisees to see this man had so many opportunities. I would argue at least one opportunity every single day to do something for Lazarus, to do something and recognize his humanity. Sure, maybe to feed him or give him something that would help him. But I think even something as simple as finding out what his name was, asking him who he was and acknowledging him as a person. To me, from the story, it looks like the rich man didn't even bother to do that. Instead, he just walked over Lazarus day after day. Yes, ignoring him. Yes, not loving him or caring for the poor. But I think from Jesus' perspective and what he wants the Pharisees to see is that each one of those times was a wasted opportunity. It wasn't just that the rich man was bad and didn't do what God wanted. It's that he had so many opportunities throughout his life. So many opportunities to be like Christ. So many opportunities to do something for this poor man. And he wasted and squandered every single one. Not unlike how the prodigal son wasted and squandered away his father's inheritance. So what Jesus wants us to see is not just that we're going to receive the opposite in the afterworld that we get from here, but to see, one, that each of us does have many opportunities. Opportunities, yes, to love the poor, but in a more simple sense, to be more like God. See the opportunities we have every single day to say, how can I respond to this? Not in the way the world would or how might be easiest for me, but how can I respond with the love, generosity, faithfulness that comes from God our Father? Because the second part of the story is that whoever we are in this life is actually who we will be in the life to come. I think the rich man is expecting, well, you know, God, if you would have just given me another chance, or if I could have a chance right now to have a little relief, if Lazarus would bring me some water, or if I could just, you know, be able to go myself or to send Lazarus to my brothers, well, maybe they would be converted and live. In some ways, the rich man's saying, Lord, if I could just have one more chance. To Abraham, that doesn't really make sense. Because again, he's saying, you had all these opportunities throughout your life. And if you didn't change then, if you didn't actually do the things that God has commanded and called you to do, that's not going to be any different now. And just like you came up with all sorts of reasons for stepping over Lazarus over and over again in your lifetime, believe it or not, even now in eternal life, you would do the same. Similarly, if you would go back and speak to your brothers, they have Moses and the prophets. They have the law. They understand what they're supposed to do. Even if someone were to rise from the dead, that wouldn't actually change anything for them. Continue to find a way to be wasteful, to not recognize those opportunities to be like God and to be converted. Brothers and sisters, I think that message is actually much more difficult than what we might think in first reading of this gospel. That I do think it matters how we care for the poor. I don't think that should be ignored in this gospel. But it's not just how we treat the poor, those that don't have food or housing or are in a little bit of need in this particular moment. I think it's also to see that every day we have so many opportunities, opportunities to love and be generous as God is with us. And that most often the poor are the ones that naturally draw that out of us. When I say the poor, I don't just mean monetarily poor. I mean those that are poor, maybe in spirit. Those that are undergoing some sort of sadness or grief. Those that are maybe separated from family or loved ones for whatever reason. Jesus often describes those that are sick or those that are imprisoned. Maybe it's just those that have no one else to care for them or reach out to them. That in all those we have small opportunities to be like Christ, to choose to be converted and to love them generously. Because like the Pharisees, Jesus wants us to realize that if we're wasteful with all those opportunities we have today, it's not going to change in eternal life. It's not going to be a switch that magically flips when we die and we go, oh, well, I always meant to follow Jesus, and now I can finally do it. Instead, the person that we are in this life is who we will be for eternity. That if we take those opportunities and conform ourselves to Christ, naturally we will be united with him forever in heaven. But if we ignore those opportunities, if we walk over the proverbial Lazarus day after day, week after week, it's not going to matter even if someone were to rise from the dead. It's not going to matter in eternal life because we will continue to waste those opportunities. Continue to ignore those opportunities to make our hearts like that sacred heart of Jesus, our Savior. Brothers and sisters, in this Holy Mass, let us thank God for all those opportunities that he does give us. That we can recognize the poor and the needy around us, not just as a burden or a task for us to do, but as persons to love. But in that moment, we can take the opportunity to become like Christ. Our hearts will be moved with compassion and love for them. And if we can provide for them monetarily or other ways that we'll do that, especially that we'll say, Lord, help me not to waste any opportunity that you give me, that I can recognize every day as a chance to be more like you. Especially as I see the poor and the suffering around me. In those moments, I can love as Christ has loved, loving them generously and sacrificially, not worrying about what they can give me in return, but instead providing for them in their need. So that just as I take advantage of those opportunities for conversion in this life, so I'll be ready for eternal life, to follow that voice of Christ, the Good Shepherd, to be conformed to him in this life, and forever in all glory with him in heaven.